If you worry about a task, you ruin it.
Nature tells us to put forth tremendous effort in order to accomplish a difficult task. But at the same time, we should not worry about it. By worrying, your effort will be jolted. The one who worries takes the reins into his own hands and believes, "I am the one who is making it work." There is a punishment for taking on that kind of control. Dependence on the non-self, that is, complex of thoughts, speech, and actions, results in worry. Currency specific to a certain country can only be used in that country. You will have to leave your cars, your house, your business, and your wife and children behind when you leave this world. During this final stage in your life, no one will have the power to do anything. The only things you will be allowed to take with you are your pap, bad deeds, and punya, that is, good deeds. To put it simply, a list of whatever rights and wrongs you have done here will accompany you. The monetary earnings gained from those crimes will remain here, and the case will continue in the next life. As a result of these accumulated karma, you will acquire a new body and you will have to start afresh to pay off the debts you created in your this life. So, why not wake up from the beginning? There is tremendous happiness in the self, the homeland. Unfortunately, no one has ever seen the homeland.
When worries arise due to accounts receivable.
At night, everyone says, "It is 11 o'clock, go to sleep." On a winter's night, you tuck yourself inside the mosquito net. Everyone in the household has gone to sleep. Under the mosquito net, you remember that you have to collect 3,000 rupees from someone and the due date has already come and gone. You begin to wish you had made him sign a promissory note and so you worry about it all night long. But by worrying about it, are you going to be able to have it signed overnight? That would not be possible, would it? So, why not go to sleep peacefully?
What is the root cause of worries?
Worries that eat away at you are meaningless. They harm your health and obstruct whatever is due to you. It is precisely because of worries that such situations arise. One must think about the good and the bad aspects of any situation, but there is no reason to worry. This worrying is egoism. There should not be any egoism. It is because of one's false notion of "I am somebody and I am running things" that he has worries. A person worries because of his false assumptions, such as, "This case will be solved only if I am present." The ego must be separated. Only then is it okay to go on thinking about the essential and non-essential things. If the ego is separated, worries will not eat away at you, and if it is not separated, these uncertainties and worries will harm you both mentally and physically. When a person is worrying and his child comes to tell him something, he is likely to become furious with the child and hurt the child. Therefore, worries are destructive in many ways. The ego is such that regardless of whether a person is a wealthy businessman or a pauper, if someone were to say to him, "You have ruined everything for me," he would have endless worries and anxiety. And the world will say such things regardless of whether you have done so or not.
What are the results of worries?
The byproduction of all worldly interaction is the ego, which is in a natural and spontaneous state, and through which all life interactions are carried out. However, nowadays people's egos have become so inflated that there is no end to a person's worries. Completely new factories of ego have been started, and the ego has been allowed to increase more and more. The world is capable of functioning with a natural, normal ego. But The inflated ego of the old man says, I am worried a lot. What are the consequences of worries? A person who worries a lot will be born into the animal kingdom in his or her next life. While you are in this human life form, you must be cautious. Otherwise, you will receive the fruit of animal life if you carry on worrying.
A true devotee will even scold God.
If a true devotee of God has worries, he would even scold his God. You have always told us not to worry, yet I still have worries. Why is that? He who does not scold his God is not a true devotee. If you encounter anxiety, you should scold and give your peace of mind to the God present within you. This is true love for God. These days, it is difficult to find a true devotee because they all move around with their own selfish motives. Lord Krishna says, why do you worry? Krishna will do what he wants to. What do these people say in reply? It is easy for Lord Krishna to say this, but how can one run his daily life without worrying? Therefore, people worry unnecessarily. It's as if they have started factories of worries. Some devotees say, I surrender to Lord Krishna. Why worry if you have taken refuge at the feet of Lord Krishna? Even Lord Mahavir has said one should not worry. He has said that the results of worrying is the animal life form. Worrying is the highest ego of all. When there is a perpetual sense of I am the one who runs all these things, then worries will arise.
All the gods have said the same thing.
Worries result in adverse meditation. This body will have to undergo the pain and pleasure it has brought with it from previous life's karma. This is unavoidable and cannot be changed. Therefore, do not look at anybody's faults. All bondage is due to your own faults. You will not be able to change anything in this life. Lord Krishna has said, why do you worry? Krishna will do what he wants to. The Jains say that it was Lord Krishna who said that and not Lord Mahavir. So, what has Lord Mahavir said? He has said that you cannot change the result of your previous life, not even to a minuscule degree. I see this in my absolute knowledge. So, abandon all negative meditation. Abandon all worries. However, who listens to the words of the Lord nowadays? I have found through deep studying that there is no difference between what Lord Krishna and Lord Mahavir have said. Sahajanand Swami has said, no one can break a single blade of grass without my wish. Does that mean that without the Lord's wish, we cannot cut even a blade of grass? Now, we have three lords who have said the same thing. Let's look further. Even Saint Kabir has said the same thing, but in different words. Yes, perhaps one person can be mistaken, but you cannot say that the Vitrags, that is the enlightened liberators, are wrong. Unless the writer made a mistake in his writing, I will never believe that the Vitrags are wrong. No matter how much one tries to convince me otherwise, I have never found fault in them. Even in my childhood, although I was born a Vaishnav, that is, follower of Lord Krishna, I have never believed the Vitrags to be wrong. Because of their wisdom, one's work is done merely by chanting their names. And yet, look at the state of human beings. The Vitrags have said that this world is so precise that not even a minutest change can take place in this life. And yet, look at all these people who stay awake worrying all night long. They torture their body by trying to stay awake, and in the end they set themselves up for heart failure.
What does one value in life?
One elderly gentleman came, fell at my feet, and cried profusely. I asked him why he was so sad. He said, my jewels have been stolen. I cannot find them. "When will I get them back?" I asked him. "Are you going to take those jewels with you when you leave this world?" He replied, "No, I cannot take them with me, but they have been stolen. When will I get them back?" I told him, "After you are gone." Should there be this kind of anxiety because your jewelry is stolen? There should be no worries about things that are gone. When the time is right, it is understandable that people will worry about the future, and a person with any intelligence is likely to have such worries for sure. But worrying over the past? Why worry about things that have happened in the past? Why worry about the things that have no solution? Any intelligent person will understand that there is no solution, so there is no need to worry. Initially, this man was crying profusely, but within 2 minutes, I turned him around. Then he started to sing, "Da Da Bhagwan Na Asim Jai Jai Kar Ho," that is, "Eternal glory to the Lord within." Even this morning, when he met me at Lord Krishna's temple, he called out to me, "Dada Bhagwan." He informed me that he had recited my name the whole night. He was very receptive. You could have converted him in any way.
Dada, what did you tell him?
I told him that there was no hope in recovering his lost jewels, and that the jewels will be presented to him in another way.
He found his biggest jewel when he met you, Dada.
Yes, that is a miracle in itself. But how can he realize that? Next to his jewels, this does not hold any value for him. If he wanted to drink tea and I were to ask him, "Why do you need tea when I am here?" he would say, "Whether or not you are here, I cannot do without my tea." What does he place importance upon? It is whatever he desires.
असीम जय जयकार हो
दादा
भगवान ना असीम जय जयकार हो
दादा भगवान ना असीम जय जयकार
हो।